Okay, next on the agenda is Jim Bennett's report.
Yes, and I think this will be much briefer. Just to report that WMNF here in Tampa as a Pacifica affiliate is providing a live broadcast of what apparently may be the only forum before the Haitian election of presidential candidates to all Pacifica affiliates, stations in Canada, France, the Dominican Republic, and Haiti this Saturday from 2 to 5 Eastern. It will be on KU Write and the KU Write stream, and it will be uploaded to AudioPort on Monday the 18th. There are 10 candidates confirmed. This is the first presidential forum of this kind in the United States.
It's this Saturday, 2 to 5 Eastern?
That's correct.
And this will be in Creole, or?
Yes, actually, there is a... I assume it's okay for me to take questions now, right, if you have...
Yes, please.
Okay, yeah.
Do you want me to maintain the stack, or do you want to maintain your own stack?
I'll maintain my own stack, so... But I'll just answer questions one at a time. So yes, they will all be giving their answers in Creole, but there are a team of 6 translators working, one translator for all the candidates, but 5 behind the scenes who will be taking notes and aiding the chief translator who will be translating as someone is speaking so that they'll have a better way of giving complete answers in English from the Creole. Even though some of the candidates speak English, mm-hmm. it was decided that they should all respond in Creole. So.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Question, Jim?
Sure.
Is WPFW going to be able to broadcast that?
I don't know. I haven't heard back from any of the individual Pacifica stations, but because it is going to be available on AudioPort, they could take it at any time they chose to if they wanted to present it at a different time.
How much leeway is there in time to make it timely?
Well, I mean, you know, the election is not happening in the next week, so...
Right, because we're in Fun Drive, and I'm sure some of the other stations are, too.
And you may just want to excerpt some of it, and rather than all 3 hours, you know, you may want to just take mm-hmm. the candidate's opening statements and rebroadcast those or what have you. They'll also be up on the WMNF website, so... the whole thing will be up on the WMNF website, so if somebody just wanted to listen to bits of it there before you bothered to download it, you could determine whether...
Would it have any description so that you knew what was happening in the first, second, and third hour? So that people might, you know, have an appetite for it?
Well, it's formatted so that there's some... there's actually the first half hour is interviews with our news and public affairs director and the organizer of the event, who is from Haiti, mm-hmm. and a couple of other interviews. Then half an hour into it, there are 10 candidates confirmed. They each get an opening statement mm-hmm. and plus translation, followed by a round of Q&A, which will each and every candidate will get the same amount of time to answer all of the questions. Mm-hmm. So that's basically beyond the first, that's the second mm-hmm. half of the event. So about an hour and a half for Q&A and about an hour and a half for the mm-hmm. introductory stuff and the mm-hmm. Opening statements.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's a great opportunity, and we're actually, you know, there's not much cost to it other than my labor mm-hmm. in terms of it being a broadcast, and we're donating the ISDN costs so that Pacifica doesn't, it doesn't even have to, it's not much, it's only like $30 or $40, but
wow.
You know how tight things are in Pacifica,
yes.
We're doing
right.
That, so.
Okay. Ursula?
Okay. The I basically have been on vacation for a week, and prior to that, most of my time was spent finishing up the contracts for the coming fiscal year, which started October 1st. Our contracts with affiliates last 1 year, and so they're revisited every September and start over again October 1st. And I did send a report to the listserv that was written prior to the PNB meeting to be submitted to the PNB at their meeting in New York, so it was a little bit before I had conclusive results. The report was a worried report because the strain of the last year was showing up in negotiations, but now that the process is complete, I am happy to say that the tally currently is 142 affiliates. We were able to bring in some new stations to make replace stations that had lost that we had lost to the network, and the tally right now I think is 246,000, which is about 10,000 more than I expected.
246,000. Thank you.
Yeah, and so that's, I'm very happy with that. It it was a struggle to get there, but I'm happy with the number, and I think that with the other possibilities that I'm working on, that we can get it back up to 250,000, which is where it was 2 years ago, and so I'm happy with that, and I hope that's in fact true. We haven't gotten all the contracts back yet, so it's not 100% sure, but it's looking good. And so right now we're in the stage where the contracts are being sent into Berkeley, and the various billing is being set up according to what people have asked, how people have asked us to bill them. If you have any questions about that process, I'm happy to answer it. I mean, in terms of the negotiation and what happened with the contracts. We do have a nice new show, an audio port from a group from WERU, which is an affiliate up in East Orland, Maine, very old-time affiliate, and they are doing they're contributing a show called World Ocean Radio, and it's put out by an organization that does a show on their station called the World Ocean Observatory, and it just sounds like a really nice contribution. It's a weekly 3 to 5 minute essay on the state of the ocean and issues that the ocean is facing, so I'm real pleased with that.
It's called World Ocean?
World Ocean Radio, yeah.
Great.
And I think it's very timely considering what's happened in the Gulf.
It's a weekly show, right?
Yeah, it's weekly 3 to 5 minute show. I think they'll probably do 5 minutes a week.
Great.
I did complete a budget with the executive director and the CFO, and the provisional budget is projected at $237,915, and I don't think any of this has been approved yet by the PNB, but this is the budget that we agreed upon and will be submitted to the Finance Committee, and hopefully it will be passed within due time so that we can move forward. While I was on, I was gone for a week because my father turned 90, and I was in my hometown of Ames, Iowa, and while I was there, I worked with a group that got their license in 2007. They're trying to build a radio station. So that was very interesting to be kind of intimately involved with that process and just to see how difficult it is in a community that doesn't have any community radio stations in their vicinity, how difficult it is for them to really visualize what they're doing and to really believe that this is possible. And it just made me appreciate, you know, the life that many of us live where we actually have community radio stations. And so I did some work with them to try and help them move forward. And finally, I did want to respond briefly to the things that you brought up, Mitchell, and I won't go in length because I think it's on the discussion, but you know, the issue of collaborating with national with affiliates for national programming to provide programs on issues of importance, I think that's a great topic, and I think we can keep working on that. But I also think that it's important for you to understand that a lot of that is already happening because the form with which the affiliates expressed originally, they really was the most pressing thing they needed to do that was infrastructure for them to submit program for national syndication, and that was really why AudioPort was built. And because of that, today we have a really unbelievably rich resource that's coming in every day from all over the network of issues of national importance that are being contributed by affiliates on an ongoing basis. And because in the AudioPort you can see who the producer is, there's a tremendous amount of contact between producers throughout the network that because, you know, they see who's doing what and who's interested in what. So I think it's real important to keep talking about the topic, but I also think it's important to understand that there's already a great deal going on. The significant difference between what's happening now and I think that how it was in the past is that Pacifica isn't necessarily in charge of it anymore. Pacifica is providing infrastructure for people all over the network to take charge like Jim just has and to make the contributions and you know, take their own initiative. So a lot is happening. I mean, we have an unusual amount of activity going on already. As far as the AudioPort, and in fact, we talked last week, we actually had to move AudioPort because there's so much content in there now that we ran out of space on the server. So we did move it. And in terms of the AudioPort update, it hasn't moved very far from the last report I gave, which was that the new version is online. It's at new.audioport.org. We're not using it yet because it has not gone through the usability stage, so it's not really ready for use. There's a lot of aspects of it that have to be changed to make it really the kind of website that people can use easily, and it will do exactly what we want it to do. And Doug and I identified what it is that needs to be changed, and basically it just hasn't happened yet because Otis has been working on other projects that have taken priority, like the board meeting and a number of other things that have just taken up all his time. So now that this is all finished, I did ask John Almela today to tell me how soon Otis can start working with me again to finish up this aspect. According to Otis, this part of it is the easy part. The hard part was doing the coding, which he has already done, and now it's a matter of tweaking it. So I'm really hoping that by the end of November, this whole process will be done. And I know John and Otis are really hoping that, too.
I've,
you know what?
To be on the stack. Yeah.
Was that Mitchell?
That was Mitchell, yeah. And Mitchell, I also got the impression from what you said earlier that you were looking for a more general introduction to AudioPort.
Yes.
And I'll be very, very – why don't you give me a call tomorrow, and I'll be happy to spend an hour with you and so that you can really get a thorough understanding of what it is.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mitchell.
Well, this is, I wanted to know how one – does one have to be part of the affiliates or Pacifica stations to put shows up on AudioPort, or can other small, say, internet stations?
No, Mitchell, I think you can put your own stuff up on there if you find out the code.
Well,
yeah,
so I don't know what's allowed and what's not. That's what I'm asking.
Right, yeah. AudioPort does distribute a lot of work to like, people that are not affiliates or producers at radio stations. They're given independent producer status, which is status where you can distribute but you can't download. But I would say at least a third, if not more, of AudioPort is from outside producers who are not part of the network.
And they're screened in some way or
no.
Approved of?
No, usually what happens is that somebody contacts me, they say they want to be an audio port, and unless there's some really compelling reason why they shouldn't, like they're, you know, distributing something that's inappropriate, you know, racist or...
Yeah, there are all these fascist stations out there, yeah.
Well, then basically you get a password to have an account in AudioPort, and it's self-uploading.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we could say we had staff to monitor AudioPort for things like that, but we don't. So it's done on faith. And to this
also,
day,
you figure you listen to it before you put it on your own air.
Yeah. To date, we've only had one show ever that people objected to having an AudioPort.
Really?
Yeah.
Great.
What was that?
We had an affiliate in West Virginia that put up a show about the Palestinian situation from the point of view of the people who were building the settlements, and people just went crazy. And you know, you could have made the argument that it was a free speech issue, but it was so inflammatory that we asked them to take it out.
Mm-hmm.
And they did.
Anyone else?
Pardon me?
Was there anyone else who wanted to be on the stack?
Campbell.
Go ahead.
Ursula, is there a... I just provided our LSB show with a summary of the affiliates task force and relationship between Pacifica and the affiliates and all. And I guess maybe somewhat... Maybe Mitch is probably down the block from this and far ahead of me, but a rather generalized discussion is that of AudioPort. Is that in writing somewhere? And also, you know, does that include the access and, you know, how it can be accessed? Not necessarily accessing it through that, but you know, those kinds of that sort of explanation.
Well, when we build AudioPort, we made a release describing it, and there were a number of magazine articles that gave very good descriptions of it. And it's been a while since anybody's asked that question, but I certainly could provide that information for you again.
I'd appreciate it. Thank
as far
you.
As the access go, that really should be done
through you.
Yeah, I mean, and we can just put that in there if you want to do that. Then this is who to contact and whatever.
Oh, okay. Terrific.
It's
Thank
a you know, AudioPort does not have a big what do you call it, gatekeeper. It's a very the system was designed to encourage people to distribute things.
Great.
Like
okay,
I was interviewed by somebody who I'd never heard of before about pesticides called Good Dirt Radio out of Colorado, and they apparently spread it a lot. And I asked them about what about Pacifica, if they choose to, picking up some of your, they do 5-minute shows.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
And so I thought, wow. And they were just thrilled to hear that exists. But I didn't know AudioPort worked this way. So
that's exactly
would that be something?
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Heaven.
Yeah,
to have these 5-minute shows is great. Folks, I have to go. Good luck. This is very good sounding.
Okay. Bye-bye, Janet.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, Mitchell, that's exactly what it's for.
Okay, that's great.
Are you there?
I'm finished with my report, if unless there's more questions.
No, I'm okay.
I guess the last thing I should say is that this thing did happen where there was an initiative to possibly send me to AMARC, but I'll let Teresa talk about that because she's really the person who raised that money. So,
I have some questions, Ursula.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not there is any plans to put on the website the written instructions for AudioPort.
Now, when you say the website, do you mean which website are you referring to?
I'm referring to the AudioPort website that once someone can, it has entered their password and is on the site and needs instructions or has frequently asked questions, whether or not that will exist on the site or whatever is there now will be updated.
Yes, definitely.
And is that to be included by the end of November when the proposed completion date is?
I don't think that's realistic. I think that the automation instructions will be because they're the highest priority and we're working on those. But I probably don't think it's realistic that the instructions will be done by November because there just isn't the staff to do it. And so everything is being, I mean, we're going to be relying pretty heavily on volunteers from WM&F to do that. And I don't know how quickly we can do that. It's very, you know, it's just very difficult to move quickly on that without proper staff.
So is it WM&F that is doing the narrative and the instructions?
Well, Doug was doing it, but Doug is gone. So, you know, it's those of us that are left kind of are putting it together and, you know, as best we can.
What role is WM&F playing, Jim?
Well, as far as I knew, we wrote some preliminary instructions, which Doug and some others reviewed and updated. Wasn't Bill Crozier involved somehow?
He was. I mean, yeah, Bill has volunteered to help, and Jake down at M&F has volunteered to help. And, you know, I've been working on it with Doug. And we've been, you know, we've been asking other people around the network to help as well. But, you know, when you... I'm just saying, when you're depending on volunteer help, I don't think it's realistic to say by November. This is an enormous amount of work. And
I have another question.
Yeah.
And that is how frequently are reports compiled on the use of AudioPort?
What kind of reports do you mean?
Reports on the use of AudioPort, who's using it, what programs are most popular, what kind of statistical data is being collected and compiled?
We don't really have the staff to do anything like that. I mean, it's just right now that's beyond the scope of what's possible here.
Okay.
I mean, I would love to be doing things like that, but that was, you know, the kind of work that happens when there's staff here to work on things like that. I mean,
is there any reason why the program that reports the number of times that it's downloaded that can't be downloaded as into a database? I mean, that doesn't seem to be labor-intensive thing. That seems to me to be a simple program. If Google can tell me how many times somebody got a specific notice from me, then certainly, given the fact that the information is there, that could be easily programmed.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to understand what report on what? I'm trying to understand what you're asking for.
The use of AudioPort.
You mean
you reported that now it's possible to tell when programs are, and it's not entirely clear what all information is available, but at least when a program is downloaded, do you know who's downloading it?
Well, you will in the new AudioPort, in the current, the one where you're using currently, you only see how many downloads, but you don't see the you don't see who it is. But in the new AudioPort, you will see who it is that's downloading.
Okay, so my question is, and I guess this question is more properly directed to Otis, that the capacity to accumulate that information and to be able to read it for the purposes of keeping audio port up to date and making sure that it is in fact responsive to the needs of the users should be programmed in as well. That's not something that we would expect anybody to sit around with a clipboard doing.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly. I mean, you would have to really come up a way to do that. I'm not sure what the criteria would be for. I mean, that would require some thought. I'm not sure how you would exactly evaluate that.
The fact
that it's very heavily used is saying that it's Otis can tell you how many hits the audio port gets a day. That might be in data that you could use. Does that make sense?
I'll talk to him. And would you, the provisional budget, what was the figure that you said that was?
It was
237,915.
That was wrong. That was projected income, and the projected, but the proposed budget was
$103,053.
Yeah, hold on a second. I'm pulling it up here. It was my computer's doing something weird. Okay. $103,535. And then there was an additional $103,535.
Okay.
And then 20% of the affiliate's income goes to central services, which is $47,583, and then there was additional income to the network of $86,797 above and beyond the 20%.
What was that last amount?
$86,797 in additional income. Contributed to Pacifica National above the 20%.
Okay. Where did that come from?
That's just the income of the affiliates program minus expenses and central services.
Okay.
It's just extra money that we didn't budget into the affiliates budget, and so it goes to Pacifica National.
Okay, terrific.
Okay. Does anyone else have any questions, or maybe I should ask, how much time do we have left?
Are you asking for the entire meeting?
No, for this segment.
We're done.
Oh, okay. Could I have a motion to extend time for 5 minutes? I have one other question.
So moved.
You had indicated that you saw the MIME project as another similar theatrical project as a way of generating money. If you would talk about that a couple minutes, and how much money you think it would generate, and what would it cost specifically?
Pardon me, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Are we just finishing up Ursula's report?
I don't understand the question.
I thought the first item of new business was a report on the GRC fundraising to Ursula to AMARC.
I'm asking, I had one other question, and we extended for 5 minutes for me to be able to answer, ask the question and her to answer it.
That was Mitchell's thing. That was Mitchell. I'm not involved with that.
That's the second item on new business.
No, it's just, I think Afia just remembered me as bringing that up, but actually it was Mitchell. Isn't that right, Afia?
No, I remember you also being at the NFCB in the workshop where that was discussed, and also it being a part of your report to the BNB at the Berkeley meeting.
Oh no, that was something different. That was Main Street. That's a group in New York City that is does musical theater, which is separate from the Mind thing. And that is a group that is looking to help raise money for Pacifica stations and Pacifica affiliates in communities where they're around the country. And they are planning some fundraisers. There is no expense to Pacifica there. They are providing the money for the startup money for it, and then the costs will be taken out of the proceeds of those events. Mm-hmm. And they're just kind of starting to figure it out now. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you. Teresa?
Okay. So we're first item on the new business. I wanted to say, I think last month at the meeting I asked if we could maybe do fundraising. And I guess inadvertently I am doing some fundraising for the affiliates. I responded to something on the Grassroots Radio Conference listserv where Jim said there doesn't seem to be anyone from Pacifica represented at AMARC. And I said, well, I'll give $50 toward it. And right now I think we have about $1,200 committed, unless there's more. It's
$1,500.
It's at $1,500 right now.
Yeah.
And this is all private initiative from individuals with affiliates, and I'm very pleased that these people feel that our affiliate coordinator can make a real difference in reaching out to prospective affiliates across the world as well as the United States. So I think that she will go to AMARC, and she will make a difference. And if anyone here would like to contribute, I'd be happy to. Because there may be some people here that aren't on the GRC listserv. If you would like to contribute, feel free to email me, and I will send you. I'll give you information. You could call into the national office and put it on a credit card on Monday. And if you would like to call me, if you have my phone number, or if you'd like to email me after this meeting, I'll be happy to give you details as to what number you would call into or where you could mail a contribution. And that's it.
Okay.
Madam Chair, there is one other item. And I guess I should have brought it up.
On that point?
No, but...
then it'll have to go at the bottom of the list.
All right, thank you.
I will caution you that it is 9:57. Okay, Mitchell?
Okay, well, I was out in California last month, and I saw the latest performance of the San Francisco Mime Troupe, which was absolutely stunning and great and just every way. It was just fantastic. And it turns out that so I went to talk with them, and it turned out that they're taking that on tour across the United States, sponsored by labor unions throughout in many different places. So I was asking, what would it take for Pacifica? The idea was that Pacifica stations it wouldn't cost us any money to co-sponsor it, but we would give airtime to interviews, some promotion and so forth. And they were interested then in doing some benefits that would include Pacifica stations. And then I was thinking, okay, that's great. I was thinking of BAI at that time because we're totally desperate for the money. But then I was thinking this could also be useful to the affiliates because they're going to be stopping in many places. So we've been talking back and forth, but I'm out of my league here. And I thought it should go to Ursula and others on the affiliate task force to talk with some of them and see about how to coordinate if we want to do that and use this as a benefit for the affiliates in exchange for promotion of this event and so forth. So that's all I had to say about that, except to raise that as a point of discussion.
Okay.
Who
is that?
Campbell.
Go ahead.
Mitchell, mm-hmm. WPFW can use a little help too, and
well, that's great.
You could drop a phone number on us. It wouldn't be bad.
Well, I was thinking that we should. Yeah, that's great. That's exactly what I had in mind. But I think it should be not everybody for themselves calling up people and from the mime troupe. But maybe try to figure out who's somebody to negotiate the whole thing. I had sent it to Arlene, the idea to Arlene, but we haven't gotten past that at this point. Everything is... She liked the idea.
It comes up to her eyeballs. So
yeah,
exactly. I suggest
Ursula.
So I thought Ursula would be good to do it, actually.
Yeah, you'll volunteer her.
Could I suggest a copy of the proposal be sent to the chair of the program committee where there are affiliate reps and network reps and... if it can't be picked up there, I think that's probably the most practical way of achieving that objective.
Okay. I did see this, though, specifically also as something that we can offer, that Pacifica could offer to the affiliates,
mm-hmm.
you know, that and to our regular stations.
That's why I said that's the best place because you've got people from both. Yeah. Your second point?
Well, that was a question that's going to take. What time is this meeting supposed to end?
10 o'clock.
Anna, are you going to ask if there are any objections to your motion?
No, I wasn't going to. What objection did you have?
I didn't have any objection, but I wondered if, since you as chair moved that the proposal be sent to the chair of the program committee, are you going to ask if we have any objections?
Again, I wasn't going to, but if you have an objection, please feel free to articulate it.
The only objection I have, Madam Chair, is that you just made a decision as to what to do with this item on the agenda for the whole group. And if you're going to go by Robert's Rules of Order, if you're going to have a motion, the motion is put on the table and everybody makes that decision.
What I said, Teresa, is that I would suggest. Now, whether or not she does that or not is up to him. Did you have an alternative proposal?
No, but I did have a question. Who is the chair of the program committee?
Jamie Ross.
Thank you.
Huh.
Okay, so did you want to propose that the second item that you offered be scheduled for a larger time period at another meeting?
To the next meeting. Move the two questions that I had there. How can Pacifica best serve the needs of the affiliates? And how can we coordinate with the affiliates to put national programming together to put that on the next meeting agenda, if that's okay.
How much time would you ask for each of them?
Well, I sort of envisioned that as a free-range discussion, so I don't know. It's up.
You want to start out with 30 minutes?
For each? I'd say 20 minutes each, maybe.
Okay.
Because that'll probably be some sort of an ongoing, at least every few months.
And, Mitchell, you're just looking at that as a brainstorming session?
Yes, yes.
Madam Chair?
Go ahead.
Johnson? Yes. Mitchell, you know, the focus for what we are doing in the subcommittee or the subgroup is right on to these kinds of specific questions. And I think someone had suggested a little earlier that you may want to consider engaging with us on that. And you know, I think that we've made some progress. I saw your email indicating that, you know, we get caught up in, or the committee gets caught up in the structure issues. And I don't think that we're caught up in the structure. I'm a believer in form follows function. And we've identified, I think, some rather relevant functions. And, you know, certainly I think that we've got something in mind from a number of people on the task force that can, you know, move forward and accomplish some positive results for the affiliates and for Pacifica.
Madam Chair, may I be on the stack?
Go ahead.
This is Teresa. I move that this first item, discussion of how to best serve the needs of the affiliates, be covered in the discussion of the subcommittee involving the restructuring of the task force. If I can get a second.
Second.
May I defend my motion?
Please, go ahead.
I just think, Mitchell, that this is exactly what they're talking about in restructuring. How to best serve the needs of affiliates, what we do, and I think that we have a staff member that's working really hard to serve best serve the needs of affiliates, and we also have that's our job, too. And I don't know when you say how to best serve the needs of the affiliates, I don't know whether you're talking about the staff or the task force, but we have a subcommittee that's working on it. And you don't have to be involved in that subcommittee if you don't want to, but I think it's going to come out in their report, and you can add to it then if you like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I meant was how can Pacifica best serve the needs of the affiliates? And people who are affiliated with Pacifica.
Is there any objection? Is that an objection to having an open discussion?
Well, the motion was different from that, Madam Chair.
The motion, as I understand it, is to put the discussion into the subcommittee as opposed to having, as the motion calls for, as he put it, a brainstorming session with the full task force.
Well, I have an objection. That's why I had my resolution, I think.
Okay, would you call, then could we have a call the roll? We're out of time.
Okay.
So, wait, point of information.
Go ahead.
Just to make sure, so Teresa is proposing an amendment or a substitute motion?
My understanding is the substitute.
Okay.
It would be a closed committee discussion as opposed to an open task force discussion.
But not, it's not closed.
The subcommittee is open to anyone.
Yeah. There's nothing closed about it.
The subcommittee is not the regularly scheduled time, which is also streamed.
That's correct. The subcommittee meeting is not streamed, but anyone is free to be on the call.
Can I Well, we're out of time. I would like to see if we could compromise rather than choosing one or the other, that if we could do both, that we could ask the subcommittee to give a report on this, to launch the discussion publicly,
mm-hmm.
and so have that discussion open at the next meeting, but the subcommittee can, you know, begin, could start it off.
I think that is something that can be done. I think that subcommittee had the intention of being able to give a report at the next meeting, so that can be part of the discussion around that report. So.
Well, I just want to make sure that if this isn't covered in the subcommittee report, I do would want this topic to be
okay.
the public discussion.
Yeah, I think it can be covered in the next meeting. Sounds like it.
So that whether it is or whether the subcommittee does or does not, you're asking to continue to reserve the 30 minutes that or 20 minutes that we originally or previously agreed to.
Right. And if okay. the subcommittee does that, then we could put it along with their report, the discussion. But if it doesn't, then we could reserve that. Yeah.
Okay.
The next regularly scheduled meeting.
Madam Chair, I'm just confused as to what we just agreed to here.
We agreed that we'll do both.
There was supposed to be a vote on the floor. And then how did this turn into we agreed?
I try to propose a compromise that would take into consideration both.
Madam Chair, if you're using Robert's Rules of Order, tell us what we're supposed to do at this point, because I'm a little bit confused as to how to document this in a minute. What are we agreeing to?
That the committee is going to look at the question. And if it makes a report at the next meeting, report on its assessment of the proposal, and at the same time, the 20 minutes that was previously reserved for discussing it will continue to be reserved for full task force discussion.
Okay. So can we ask if there's any objection to that?
Did you have an objection?
No, but I'd like the question to be asked so I can document there's no objection.
I didn't hear any objection. Did you?
Okay, well, if we're asked, if you're asking, I'm not objecting.
Okay.
Is there an objection, Madam Chair? I'm asking the task force, is there any objection to how it's just been proposed?
No.
Okay, thank you.
The regularly scheduled Thursday of the month is November 11th, so that the secretary will note that that is the next meeting date.
Madam Chair?
Yes?
That's a national holiday and Veterans Day, and I think that
Farmers
we may
Day.
Want to consider that.
It was originally Armistice Day, which
given,
I like better,
yeah.
celebrating the peace
Armistice
rather than
Day.
The war. Yeah.
I'm not given to honoring the military, but if other folk want to do so,
not honoring the military exactly.
Well, I don't know how anybody could call it a peace.
This is honoring veterans.
This country has never been at.
The Veterans for Peace are doing many demonstrations and whatnot on that day, by the way. So,
you're
honoring
is there
them
a proposal?
Well.
Is there a suggestion that it be held the third Thursday as opposed to the second?
There is a little problem, is if we move it too close to Thanksgiving, people will be on the move.
That's
November
why the third...
Night the week before, so
the third
should be.
And
okay.
I would renew if he has objections to the same thing about honoring Thanksgiving. But
you don't like the turkey.
No, I'm not honoring Thanksgiving. I'm just saying if we move it too close, then
right.
I mean, is it,
That's not too close unless people
are. Is there any objection to November the 18th, Thanksgiving being on November the 25th?
I think that's good.
Teresa, are you at a computer?
Yes.
Would you check to see, make sure there's no other meeting scheduled for that date, please?
Okay, well, just bear with me 1 minute here. It changed KPFTX. It's a little bit. Where is it with the calendar? I see.
Can I get a clarification? We're proposing to meet on the 18th, right? As
opposed
to the 11th? Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair, I'm on kpftx.org, and it's not showing you where the calendar is anymore. I see all the archives. Wait a minute. I'm getting there. Can anyone else go on KPFTX?
Yeah, Teresa, I got it here. We're talking about November
18th.
November 18th is free.
Okay, then let's take November 18th, and I will schedule it on the calendar. I'll entertain a motion for it to be adjourned.
Adjourn.
Second.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Nice meeting you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.